Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I'm going to tell you a story right now about a time I was in court before I went to law school. I've mentioned I sued a transmission shop in small claims court. I actually also sued somebody else I was involved in a traffic accident with. Somebody crossed the center line and hit my car. I also did that in small claims court. But I had a gun pulled on me, and I was a witness. So it's an interesting story, especially for a kid who's about to go to law school. But it's a few years out. I was still in my undergrad at the time. I'm guessing mid-1980s. But I'm driving through Troy, Michigan in a little black car. I had a little black Charger Daytona, the little pieces of junk, not the cool ones. And I'm driving along on a sunny afternoon. I'm guessing Saturday or Sunday weekend. I'm southbound Rochester Road. It's a 5-lane road, 2 lanes this way, 2 lanes this way, and a center turn lane. And there's a lot of commercial businesses along that stretch. And there's, you know, like shopping malls and things of that nature, strip malls. And so I'm driving along, and I'm in the curb lane, far right lane, headed south. And I see a car, a van, pulling out of a parking lot, and the guy pulls up the stop sign, and there's traffic going every which way. And without even looking, the guy just pulls out in front of me, and he comes to a kind of a stop because he realizes that he can't even get into the center turn lane, let alone the fact there's two cars coming this way that are about to just broadside him. I'm one of the cars that's about to broadside him. So I lay on my horn, stomp on my brakes, and the guy looks and he panics, and he then floors it and he like zooms off into the center turn lane and hangs a left and goes around the two of us, me and the car next to me, who almost plowed into him, but neither of us did hit him. And as he went off, I was kind of pumped up, so I flipped him off. Now, I will admit that I don't recommend you do that to anybody or everybody all day long, but occasionally, I think it's important that you do notify other drivers if they're driving inappropriately. And so, now, I don't even know if I suspect other people did too, okay? But I'm very, very aware of what's going on around me. And so I continue driving south, but I actually watched in my rearview mirror as the guy went into the left turn lane, went that way a little ways, and turned around and was coming back. And now here's the thing. I'm not alone in my car. And so I announced to my car mate that, hey, that guy who almost just killed us just pulled a U-turn and now he's zooming up. Now, I don't know if he's zooming up to speak to the people in that car, because there's a car to my left, or to me, okay? Because but like I said, I had a sneaky feeling it may have been me because of the fact that I had waved at him. And so the person in the car with me says, well, you know, what should we do? And I said, well, let's see what happens. Sure enough, the guy pulls up behind me. He's doing this thing where he's acting like he's going to rear end my car. So there's a parking lot coming up and there's a Kroger there, which is a big supermarket in the Midwest. So I pull into the parking lot of the Kroger and I'm going to go inside. And if the guy gets out of his vehicle, does anything, I'm going to call the police because there's a payphone in there. This is before cell phones existed. At the time, telephones are big devices about yay big and they're bolted to walls. So as I get out of my car, he actually pulls his van up in a spot across the aisle and gets out and he's got a gun. It's funny now, but here's the thing. Put yourself in that situation. You're driving along and you do something stupid. Totally illegal. You pull out into traffic in such a way that it almost causes like a 16 car pileup. And one of the people that you almost killed was upset with you. Let you know that through a hand gesture. And your answer to that is, I'm going to pull out a gun and go chase the guy and threaten to kill him. Hey, that sounds like a wise idea. In fact, I suspect that's what the drafters of the Bill of Rights were getting at when they drafted the Second Amendment. So the man pulls out a gun. So I glance very quickly and get his license plate, which, by the way, to this day, I can tell you, I remember his license plate. But I'm not going to give it here because I'm sure he doesn't have it anymore. But it's in Michigan, it's 3 letters, 3 numbers at the time. And that was what he had in the back of his license. So I see the man pull the gun. And now here's the thing. It's a busy parking lot of a shopping center. I know the guy, unless the guy's really Looney Tunes, is not going to come chasing me with the gun. So I very quickly trot between a row of cars, go inside, put a dime in the payphone, or dropped a dime on the guy, as I like to say. And I might not have had to pay attention. I just realized 911, right? I just dialed 911. operator with emergency. I go, there's a man with a gun in the parking lot of the Kroger's southbound Rochester Road at, I forgot the mile road, but it's there. And I go, here's, he's driving a van. He's in a license. And sure enough, as I'm giving the information, I see the guy run back, get in his van and take off. Okay. So I'm talking to the operator. I go, he just headed out. He's southbound on Rochester Road right now. I kid you not. 30 seconds later, she goes, we got him. Miracles do happen. So the woman on the other end of the phone goes, can you give me your contact information, your name, address, phone number, all that stuff? I give it to her. She goes, okay, thank you. She goes, if we need you, can we contact? I said, please do. And sure enough, a little while later, I get a contact from somebody. And some of the details in this are hazy because at the time, I wasn't an attorney. I don't even remember much of the legal process, except that they called me. And I spoke to, I believe, it was a prosecutor eventually who spoke to me and said, look, this guy's being prosecuted because of the fact you can't run around in public waving a gun and pointing it at people. And he had pointed it at me. And so I'm like, good. And they go, can you come in and testify? And I said, I'd love to. When? Where? I'll dress up. And by the way, I mentioned there's a passenger in my car. So there's witnesses to all of this. It's not just me and my word against his. You know, there's somebody else there as well. So both get called to court, subpoenaed, go to court. And I remember meeting with the prosecutor, and the prosecutor goes, here's the deal. This is a preliminary exam. I know that. And I'm kind of perplexed. I go, I'm curious, like, what's his defense? And he goes, well, believe it or not, he says that he was driving to the bank and he thought you were trying to rob him. And so when you came running out of your car towards him, he pulled the gun out to scare you away from the car, and then he jumped in the car and drove off. And I go, wait, so why did he follow me into the parking lot? Doesn't make any sense. And of course, I told you I had another witness. And the prosecutor goes, no, that's one of the things that we noticed about your story was you said specifically the guy pulled out and had gone the other direction and looped back. If he's behind you, first of all, you can't be following him. But number two, the fact that he looped back after you made the gesture, which, by the way, I told him about, indicates that, no, he was following you. You couldn't have been following him. That's not how the word follow works. So I remember, and they had us all sequestered. So the witnesses to this, and there was more than one, were not allowed in the courtroom during the testimony. And somewhere along the line, they say, Steve Leto, come on in. I come on in, and Troy District Court. And by the way, I've been in front of all of these judges since then, but I've never mentioned, I say all the judges, I mean, there's three or four judges in Troy who were all still there after I became an attorney. But I never went up to, by the way, hey, do you remember me? I witnessed that case, guy pulled a gun on me. I mean, I suspect that's the kind of thing a judge doesn't exactly remember all the details of. But so I get called in, and they walk me through, what's your name? Where do you live? Do you remember this day? What was happening? Where were you? You were in a car. Tell us about the events. And I had to actually say, when the man pulled out in front of me, I had to stomp on my brakes, and I was very, very upset, and I did make a gesture towards him. And the prosecutor asked me and said, could you please, for the record, describe the gesture? I said, well, I made a fist and I extended my middle finger upwards, and I believe that would probably be considered a rude or obscene gesture. I said, however, I made it because at the moment I made it, I was so filled with adrenaline. I, for a split second earlier, had thought I was going to die. Okay, my little car against his van, it was not going to be an even fight. And so I was, on the edge right there. And, 3 minutes later, I would have been fine. But, so I made that gesture. And then I watched him as he turned around and came in behind me, And so the prosecutor asked me a few more questions. And the defense attorney actually did try to cross-examine me and ask me, did I come charging towards the man's van? And did I then run away when he pulled the gun on me? And I basically had to explain that, no, it's not really what happened. I got out of my car and saw him coming towards me, and I looked at his license plate, and then when I started making, started heading towards the building where I'm clearly going to call the police, he took off. If he was the victim of a crime, why did he take off? And then I later talked to, I think it was a prosecutor, or maybe a police officer, who later told me that when they pulled the guy over, he denied having been involved in any incident, any parking lot. He certainly didn't have a gun on him, and he doesn't know what anybody's talking about. But of course, with the good description he'd gotten from me of the van, of the man's appearance, of the gun, it turned up very quickly thereafter the man did in fact have a gun stuffed underneath the seat of his car. I don't know his van. I don't actually know if he was licensed to carry or not. I don't know because this is the mid-80s and the laws have changed dramatically since then. But I do know that after my testimony, the prosecutor came out and said, Steve, good news. You do not have to come back and testify for trial. He just pled guilty. And they offered him a plea of some sort. And I don't remember what it was, okay? But he did plead to something and they took the plea and boom. He got convicted of something. So that's the story about how I had a guy pull a gun on me in the mid-1980s, all over a traffic incident. And again, you know, you weren't there. I was there a long time ago. I'm telling you the version from my eyes. But like I said, I had a passenger with me. This was actually hashed out in court to some degree. And I know that there's some people out there right now who are going to go, well, gee, Steve, how do we know that you were driving safely and blah, blah, blah. Well, I wasn't ticketed. Nothing happened to me. The other guy got arrested, okay? So it always ends well when the other guy gets arrested and convicted, and you have a funny story to tell. So there you have it. I've told the story one other time. I was asked in law school to stand up and tell a short story as part of, I think, a trial practice class. So I told the story about how I had a gun pulled on me, but... You know, like I said, I can laugh about it now, but at the time it wasn't funny. And I suspect that when the man pled guilty to whatever he pled guilty to him it wasn't funny either. So that's the story when I had the gun pulled on me. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.